We're just continuing now with the study of the Haggadah. After Kiddush, the next thing you really are going to focus on is Sipur. That's the major inyan of the Lila, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So after Kiddush, you then do Karpas. Karpas is Shinui HaLaila, to make a change. And that's based upon the whole two major ideas, really connected to one idea, Vigat Levincha, the mitzvah of telling the story, initiating the child. And by extension, there's a lot of extensions at the Haggadah. That is, there's the specific form in which the mitzvah of Vigat Levincha obviously relates to your child. But conceptually, a child would be anyone where there's a responsibility to transmit Torah to that person. So in that case, it doesn't have to be a child. It could be somebody else's child, or it could be an adult. It could be any Jew who's in need. That's a major theme. And any Jew that doesn't really know enough about Judaism. All right, that's what you got to Levincha. Now, once that's the case, that the obligation is to transmit it, to engage in a sipur in which you transmit it to different people. So then you have to stimulate curiosity. That's the idea of karpas, to stimulate curiosity. So you have the formalized expression of karpas, but then you have to use your own judgment. If you just do go through the motion of the karpas, it may not affect people. Especially today, it may not be that noticeable, the karpas itself, because originally everybody would have his own little table that he'd eat from. So if you removed the table, it was noticeable. Today you have a big table and there's a lot of things on the table, so it may not even be that noticeable. The point is that you should then do things that initiate discussion that cause people to be curious. That's the general idea of the karpas. The Rambam brings it down. Chotfin matzah, they would grab matzah one, you know, do things that were unusual and different. Okay, then after that, you go to Holach Ma'anya, which we did that yesterday, and that is to establish the basis of the Sipur, its relationship to matzah. That's very, very important, because the Sipur is not merely told in the abstract; it has to be told b'shosh yesh matzah mara, in conjunction with the objects of the mitzvos of the night. So this is an explanation as to the relationship between the sipur and the mitzvos halayla. That's very important. Then the sipur actually begins. You have the manishtana, which we discussed. Is that the question of the sun in a formalized fashion? Question of the sun should really be spontaneous. In actuality, in real time, as they say, whenever the child is stimulated to ask, you should stop and talk to him. I wouldn't tell the child to wait and then go through the motions and listen to the Haggadah. Because the child, assuming the child doesn't have that much patience or attention, so that's clear. If the child asks, stop and tell him right away. What we're doing in the Haggadah is very formalized. Even the four questions, is the assumption that every child is going to come up with the same four questions? By the way, it's one sophisticated child to be able to come up with these questions. All the commentators point out that he hasn't seen any of this. He hasn't seen any of these things yet that it's talking about. The fact that we eat chametz and matzah tonight, we just eat matzah, and so we haven't even eaten matzah yet. So this would be a very precocious child that would have to figure everything out already, just from what he sees on the Seder plate, and so on and so forth. It presupposes a lot of information. These are the formalized versions. The question that he asks is basically whatever question he asks. Why are we doing what we're doing? According to the Rambam, the Manishtana is really something which is said by the leader, which makes a lot of sense. Because before he launches into the story, he's enunciating the ways. That's the idea of Sipur, is to related all to the Lila, to the night, the ways in which this night is different. The fact that it's formalized fits in very nicely with that, as opposed to saying it's the question of the Ben. Okay, but those are the two ways in which it could be understood. What comes next? What comes next is Avadim Hayinu. And as the Haggadah says, the plate is now brought back because we're going to begin the actual Sipur, and that has to be said over the mitzvah of the matzah, for example. He says to uncover the matzah. So when you're saying the Haggadah, it's in the presence of the matzah. Then we say, Avadim Hayinu L'Parav Mitzrayim. Vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu Misham B'yad Chazaka Uvizron Netuya. Okay, we were slaves to Paro in Egypt, and God, the Lord our God, took us out with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. And had the Holy One, blessed be He, not taken our fathers out of Egypt, then we and our children and children's children would be subjugated to Paro in Egypt. And even if we are all chachamim and all discerning and all elders and kulanu yodim es haTorah, we all know the Torah, mitzvah leinu lesaper b'yetzias Mitzrayim. It is a mitzvah for us to be mesaper, to engage in discussion concerning yetzias Mitzrayim. V'chol hamarba lesaper b'yetzias Mitzrayim hareiz meshubach. And one who is marba, who increases, the more one increases the Sipur, he is praiseworthy. So what's this doing over here? What's the point of the entire paragraph, and what's the series of ideas that it's expressing? Is this part of telling the story? But it seems that we're not telling the story. We're talking about our obligation to tell the story. Phase one of the Haggadah, of the Sipur, is to study the laws pertaining to the Sipur. It's sort of a mini Shulchan Aruch. The next succeeding paragraphs are going to be addressing various aspects of how one ought to do the mitzvah. This is the beginning of that. Is this the actual Sipur over here? Does this paragraph, because it seems to be starting off that way. It seems to be starting off, we were slaves to Paro in Egypt. That seems to be starting the story. But it doesn't tell you much more than that. It just gives you the barest minimum. So it's hard to imagine that that is enough to tell the story. So then if it's not telling the story, what's the idea? What are we learning from this, the fact that we were slaves? That's the first question. But let's isolate the points. Okay, we start off by saying we were slaves and God took us out. That's A. The second B is, had God not taken us out, then we and our children and children's children would have been subordinate. Well, that has to be analyzed too. What's the point? Is that really true? That seems like a very audacious kind of a statement. You're making a statement. How do we know? This is an event which took place about 3,500 years ago. Could anybody really say that had a certain thing not happened 3,500 years ago to a certain people, then they'd all be in the exact same situation as they were then? That's the question over there. And what was the point of saying it anyways? Whether it's true, whether it's not true, well, it is true. I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying we don't understand why it's true, but it is true. And what's the difference? The point is that God did take us out. Isn't that the point? Why do we have to start to think? Why is it of importance for us to start to speculate as to what would have been the situation had God not done it? What difference does that make? Then the next thought is that even if we're all chachamim and talmidei chachamim and so on and so forth, it is a mitzvah upon us to recite or to tell the story of the Exodus. That also one must ask a question. What's the question that you would ask? The question that I would ask would be slightly different. If there's a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah. We don't differentiate when it comes to mitzvahs. One could say perhaps the same thing, that why is it necessary for the great sage and scholar and so on and so forth to go in the sukkah? He's been doing this all of his life. He gets the point by now. But that would be preposterous if anybody would make a statement like that, that even if we're all wise and so on and so forth, that we have to do this mitzvah or we have to do that mitzvah. it's a given that everybody has to do the mitzvot. It's also a given that you never get enough of the mitzvot, so to speak, that one has to be humble. One could never say, I've gotten everything there is to get out of sukkah, for example. Anyone that would say anything like that would be preposterous. It's arrogance and foolishness, because it's just not true. You don't even get a fraction of what's out there. So why are we saying this over here? Then it says, V'chol amar b'lasaper b'tzias Mitzrayim hareza meshubach. What kind of an idea is that? What do you mean he's mar b'lasaper? What are we talking about? You mean I should talk a lot? Is that the idea? I should just talk a lot. Keep going? What kind of a concept is that? Is it a reference to how much or how long? The general purpose of the paragraph is to establish we're talking about the basic rules that pertain to Sipur. So here it's telling us something about the nature of the mitzvah. In order to do this, see, Sipur is a different kind of a mitzvah, apparently.
It's not like a history.
Yeah, it's not like a technical kind of a mitzvah where you do the mitzvah as long as you have kavana. And the philosophy, that's separate, that's the purpose. But the doing, Sipur itself demands that you understand what you're doing. Otherwise, if you don't understand what you're doing, how can you do a Sipur? The very essence of the mitzvah is understanding. So you have to know where it's coming from. What's the motivating factor? Why must I engage in the Sipur? I have to know all of these things. So the first thing it's trying to tell you is why you have to engage in the Sipur. That's your framework. And what is the answer? If that is the case, what is the answer that's provided? Avadim. Avadim hayinu, leparav Mitzrayim. That is the, so to speak, the machayev. Now, it's very, very interesting that over here, avadim hayinu, we say we were. That's an interesting term. You're familiar with the idea of an idea of maschil, bignos, and messiah, and b'shevach, that you have to start with degradation and end with shevach. And there's an argument as to whether it's from avdus, that the degradation is the avdus, and the shevach is freedom. The other side says that mitchila of the avodah zarah hayavaseinu. That comes in later on. That the degradation is that from time immemorial, from earliest times, our fathers were idol worshippers. That means pre-Avraham. So it's interesting to notice when it comes to that, we say mitchila of the avodah zarah hayavaseinu. At the very beginning, our fathers were idol worshippers. But here it doesn't say, it should have said, Avadim Hayu Avoseinu Leparo. Rather, over here it says, Avadim Hayinu. That can't be by accident. What's the significance? When we talk about the Avadim, who are Avadim? It's not just that it's our fathers, that's true, it's our fathers, but it's Hayinu. It's all part of one Am. It's Am Yisrael. The truth is that Am Yisrael was enslaved, and Am Yisrael is not just those Jews who happen to be around at this particular time. There's a tziruf, there's a connection between all the generations, and we link up with them. In terms of having a historical mission, which is carried out over the centuries, we're all part of one group. We're not all around at the same time, but it's all one group. The nation continues throughout history. So, Hoyinu, the point over here is that this is something which occurred to us. Why did it occur to us? Because we're all part of the same nation. That's very, very important. Because if it didn't, if a certain event happened thousands of years ago, why do I have to be involved? What does it have to do with me? Why does that necessitate that I get involved in recitation of a story? So this event, we're saying, is something which happened to us. Now that is, the next phrase makes that point even stronger. A, it happened to the nation. And B, we ask the next question is, why do I have to speculate if it hadn't, if God had not taken us out? We were enslaved and we experienced the miraculous intervention and the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the foundation of this obligation. All right, then we have to speculate as to what would have happened had it not. Why is that significant? The mere fact that this occurred to the nation, and it's our nation, in and of itself would not be sufficient. Because we have to show how that affects us. A lot of things happened in the history of the nation. A certain miracle might have happened, and so on and so forth. But we have to also consider, in determining the effect it has upon us, what the alternatives would have been. What would have been the alternatives? So if it were true that if God had not taken us out, maybe it would have been, they would have endured it somewhat longer, whatever the case, but they would have eventually gotten out, so then it does not have the same consequences for us. For them, even for them, I mean, that's always a factor, but for them, God took them out, they experienced it, whatever the case may be, it's different for them. But for subsequent generations, it may not have the same significance, because suf kol suf, you would have gotten out. That's the point. So you must understand that the intervention of God has consequences for the nation in a manner that it affects every generation. How so? And how do we deal with the issue? It's 3,500 years ago. I mean, it doesn't stand to reason. There's been so much revolutionary change that's taken place. Nothing is the same. But that's the point. The point over here is, Rabbi Chait made this point, it's based upon the Rambam, that the Am is a different kind of an Am. That whatever happens to the Am is part of the Ashkachas Hashem. It was the Ashkachas Hashem that brought the Am into the enslavement. And the only reason why there was a removal was because of the Ashkachas Am, which means that if it was not the will of God to take them out, then no force in history would have been applicable. No force in history. So no matter what historical changes took place, historically, politically, socially, it would not have made any difference. If it was the will of God, then the Jewish people would still be slaves. So we are the direct beneficiaries of the Ashkachas Hashem. Ah! So what's the next statement? It leads, everything flows now. Logically. So what's the next statement? Well, as soon as we say, Harei Anu V'neinu V'nei V'neinu M'shubadim Ayinu, therefore, we have filu kolan chacham. Therefore, we have a chiyuv to be osek in the mitzvah of sipur yetzias mitzrayim. That is to say, we've now established what the foundation of the mitzvah is, what the basis and the foundation of the mitzvah is. The fact that this event occurred to us, to our nation, in such a way that had it not occurred, we would still be. So we are the beneficiaries of that miracle, just like the generation that experienced it. Thus, we have the obligation to be osek in the mitzvah of Sipur. We're telling our story. It's our story. Now, the next question is, it should have said, all right, so that's why we have a chiyuv to tell a story. Why did it express it that way? Afilu kolan chacham. There's a mitzvah of Sipur. That's all we need to know. Once you have a mitzvah, we never say by any mitzvah. That's never a factor. We never say that everybody has to do the mitzvah, even the chacham. Of course everybody has to do the mitzvah. All right, to explain this, or to answer it, to suggest an answer, a few paragraphs further on, we have this famous story, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, Harei Ani Kiven Shivim Shana, V'lo Zechisi Sheita Amar Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Leilos. So this seems to be a discussion about the obligation of mentioning Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Leilos. And it's a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, and he brings down the drasha of Ben Zoma. Because it says, L'man tizkor es yom tzeischom eretz Yisrael kol yimei chayecha. So that you should remember the day you went out of Egypt, all the days of your life. Yimei chayecha hayamim, and kol yimei chayecha halelos. That's the machlokas, where the kol yimei chayecha comes to include lelos, the evenings. But the other side says, no, it comes to include limos ha-mashiach. So there's a lengthy discussion about this. The Rav takes it up in the Siach HaGrid. And one of the issues is, this seems to be a halachic machlokas pertaining to an issue about mentioning, we mentioned Yitzias Mitzrayim, we mentioned it in the Kriya Shema. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Atzeis Yitzchem Eretz Yisrael, Yitzchem Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, MS. So, we say that in the Kriya Shema in the morning, and that's the machlokas, that we say in the Kriya Shema in the evening. The Rambam, of course, we paskin that we do, and that's why he says that the third parsha, which talks about mitzvah tzitzis, we say it even in the evening, even though mitzvah tzitzis is not no heges, b'layla, so ostensibly it would not be relevant at that time. But we mention it because it includes the Zecher of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to remember the Exodus every day, by day and by night. So, what did it have to do with Pesach, though? All right, we'll talk about it more when we get there, but basically you can see the connection. There's a connection. Is there a connection between the mitzvah of every day and the mitzvah on Pesach? The mitzvah on Pesach is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Rav takes up the issue. I don't know if it's in this Haggadah. I think it's in the Shiurim, the Yartzeit Shiurim, that Sefer, which wrote him up. Others as well. The difference between Zecher and between Sipur. What's the difference? And they give different characteristics. You know, Zecher is very brief, a brief mentioning. A Sipur is at length, and Kol Hamarbe, and Sipur implies telling it to the children, telling it to others, and so on and so forth. I do believe that the Rav says, however, that if a person just said Kriya Shema that night and fulfilled the Zecher, then he basically, I mean, on a minimal level, fulfilled the mitzvah. We'll see about that. I mean, I think that's what he says, but we'll take that up. Because to me, that's very strange. Let's say a person, for whatever reason, never got to the Seder, but he did say Kriya Shema. Was he Mekayim the mitzvah? Because that's the essential idea. He enunciated the essential idea of the Exodus on this night, and that God's our God. Because basically, it's Kabbalah Zol Malchus Shemayim. Al Yidei. That's what he winds up by saying, that the mitzvah of Zechirah is really part of the mitzvah of Kabbalah Zol Malchus Shemayim. Because that's an issue that he takes up. He starts off by taking up the issue, why didn't the Rambam count this as a separate mitzvah in the Minyan of Mitzvahs? So there's a number of answers, but he concludes, Rav Chaim gave a few answers, but I think the ultimate answer is that, because it's not an independent mitzvah, the Fdeyat Musa, to remember the Exodus every day. But the mitzvah is incorporated into Kriya Shema, which means that it's part of the mitzvah of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim al Yidei Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. It seems to me at this point that if that's the case, then you really wouldn't be Yotzei. I'll expand on that some more. Because this is a different mitzvah. The mitzvah on the night of Pesach is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim with a completely different kind of a kiyum. When we get there, we'll see what the kiyum is too. It's a different kiyum, ha-mitzvah. Different maisa mitzvah, different kiyum. But be that as it may, I think there's a connection. That's what I wanted to say. I wanted to suggest that there is a connection. Just let me explain it briefly. I'm just putting it out there for whatever it's worth. You can think about it. That the idea of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we discussed, the Ramban says, this contains all of the fundamentals of our Emunah, the existence of God and the relationship of God to the world, Yesh Me'ayin, creation of Yesh Me'ayin, that God does miracles, that God intervenes in order to achieve the purpose of creation, and so on and so forth. So it's foundations of Emunah. That's why the matzah is so significant, because it represents Geula, and that's why chametz is such a serious avera and this kares, because if a person eats chametz, it really signifies that he's denying. He's denying the Geula. So, during the year, it's a zecher. A zecher just means a reference to something, and its significance. The person has to remember. It's a remembrance. He just has to take note of it and remind himself that this is the basis of our Emunah. That's not Sipur. Sipur is really to immerse yourself in all of the implications. But perhaps there is a connection between the two, because what is it that gives the Zecher, what gives it a significance? And yeah, if a person just says, Ani Hashem, if he doesn't go through the whole Sipur and understand all the implications, so then how can it function as a Zecher? In order to have a Zecher, you have to start somewhere. That is, first you have to start, and you have to elucidate, and you have to understand. Then you can make it, once you understand that, now I can just refer to that. And now that has significance to you. If a certain event If I want you to remember a certain event, because if you understand that event, if you understand what I did for you, then it'll cause you to behave in a different way. Okay? So I want you to remember that event, say, once a week, because otherwise you'll forget. All right? Let's say it could be anything. Let's say it's even Amalek. Let's say there was an obligation to remember Amalek once a week. Now, that is, when you think about it, it confirms a certain idea in your mind. It's a confirmation of a certain idea that's vital to always have in the forefront of your mind. But there has to be a certain point in time when you start to study the whole idea of Amalek. If you study it and you understand it, then you can refer to it. But if you never study it and understand it, so it loses its significance as a remembrance. That's what I'm suggesting. That the mitzvah of telling the story, there has to be one night when you immerse yourself in the story and all the aspects of the story and the full significance. Once you've achieved that, now, every day, you can mention it. And it has a significance for you. It's like a code. It's abbreviated. It's an abbreviation. It's like having an abbreviation. But the abbreviation presupposes that there's a time when you review the entire thing and, now it has significance for me. So the two are interconnected, in my opinion. So, perhaps that's the idea. That because of all these factors, we have an obligation to be Masapi Yetzias Mitzrayim. Which merely means to know Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the reason why you have to know it is because of the significance that it should serve as a foundation of all the basic principles and guide your whole life. So if that's the case, then you might say that once a person reaches a certain level, he's a chacham, he's a navan, and he understands the full ideas, so then that's it. It serves the purpose for him. Now it's enough for him to have the zecher. The zecher everybody has to have. Because that's a daily phenomenon, and your whole life has to be based upon that principle. Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim. But the whole purpose of the Sipur is to elucidate the concepts and to know them and understand them so that it can function for you on a daily basis. Also, if that's the case, it makes sense that these individuals have reached that level already. Kamash Malan, that's not enough. That's not the essence. The essence of the Chiyuv, it has a value and a purpose in its own right. In terms of being involved, and as we will see, there is a Kiyum to the whole Sipur. What is the Kiyum of the Sipur? Is it just, it says, V'chol ha-marva l'saper, because that's the next point we have to understand. That's the final point, chol ha-marva. And again, why chol ha-marva and what? What does it mean, chol ha-marva? What would you say is the Kiyum of the Sipur? And what is chol ha-marva? The more the better. Why the more the better? That can only be understood in terms of the Sipur. Is it an intellectual kiyum to just know more and understand more? Is it understanding the end in itself? Yeah, the answer, I believe, is that the kiyum of the Sipur is to effectuate a change in the Gavra in terms of his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's expressed in the Chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo. It's not enough just intellectually. That's different than the idea of it seems very close to it. But that's not. That's an intellectual recognition. But Liros Es Atzmo means that he has to attain a certain type of an experience, a certain type of an attitude or an emotion. That it has to effectuate him in such a way that he experiences a profound gratitude to Hashem. And that is the transition to the last phase of Hallel. That is brought down as the introduction to Hallel. Lefichan, after we say Bechol Dovador, Chayev Adam Liros Es Atzmo, Ki'ilu Hu Yotzei Mitzrayim, the next part, Lefichach Anachnu Chayevim Lahodos, Anachnu Chayevim Lahodos. You have to now be an individual who experiences all of the joy as a result of the Geula. And the result being that you have to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's when you say Hallel. So that's the idea. I feel the Kolana Chachamim, that the mitzvah of Sipur is not just to achieve an awareness of the significance of the event in history and the principles of it, but rather it is to transform you into a certain Gavra who recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of your relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of Shevach V'Hodei Hashem. And that's where you have the Kol HaMarva. The Kol HaMarva is meaning, if a person just does it in a perfunctory way, it's not going to lead. It's not going to be the same. In terms of the Kiyam of Sipur, which is Lahodos Lashem. And that's why Marva over here doesn't just mean quantity, to how long you go. The Marva over here is in terms of the quality of the Sipur. The quality of the Sipur. Not just the quantity. If a person just goes on longer and longer, but there's no increase in terms of the quality, it's not the same thing. That's not going to produce that result. So I don't think it can be measured that way. That people either slow down or they just say more things. Just so that they can say that we spend 4 hours or 5 hours. That's not the story which illustrates that. All the rabbis that were Masubin and Bnei Brak and they just lost track of time, that's not a quantitative phenomenon. That's a qualitative phenomenon. And it's resulting from the fact that all of your energy is caught up with it. It's something that you have tremendous energy to talk about something that happened to you, an event that happened to you. You want to talk about every aspect of it. That, I think, is the idea. So that's the first paragraph in terms of the, so to speak, the little Shulchan Aruch that we have studying the nature of the mitzvah of Sipur. Parenthetically, this idea of a Zecher, that a Zecher is not the same as a Sipur. A Zecher is where you just, the objective is to remember the event and its consequences in terms of your life. Someone could say, for example, on a Holocaust day, they set aside a day to remember the Holocaust. Halachically, it really should be on Tisha B'Av. But the remembrance of the Holocaust, nobody would say that you have to sit down and immerse yourself and study all the factors and the ideas and the details. But the basic idea of the remembrance is really so that you shouldn't forget it. And that you should remember that Amalek is out there. That would be the Kiyam, so to speak. That's a Zecher, but that's not necessarily a Sipur.